Hello, welcome back to another episode of D54. I'm Amit, joined by Kathy. We just saw a Malayalam horror movie.
Yes, we did. Oh my gosh. I've been looking forward to this movie on so many levels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, guys, before you watch this or after you watch this, however you want to do it, go check out Cinemondo because we just did a spoiler-free review where we talked about this movie. I think more in the sense of, you know, what we really liked about the movie, our experience of the movie, some of the performances, the cinematics, the black and white stuff we talked about. Mm-hmm. This is going to have a bit more spoiler. This is going to have more spoilers in it. I'm going to talk about the story a little bit more, but I'm still going to try. I'm going to try my best to not ruin it completely for you guys.
It'll be spoiler light.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think the one thing we can definitely say, the takeaway, go out and watch this movie.
Definitely see this movie. Do not miss it. And try to see it in the theater because that would be the perfect place to see it. I know.
I mean, it's amazing in the theater. It's something else. Like, I mean, one thing about the theater experience, I would say, because yes, the black and white was freaking awesome, but the sound design also is so good in this movie. And so you're sitting there and you know, I think sound design is so important in horror movies. Like it's, you know, because it really helps establish that sort of atmosphere. And that's what this movie is all about. This movie is all about atmosphere. When you're in the house with Mamuchi's character and everyone else, you really want to feel that sort of, you know, the horror, the tension, the you know, the intrigue, the mystery that's happening there. And that's a lot. The music really holds that together, I feel like.
Yes.
You know? So it's really good.
And it's subtle. Like they don't, you definitely feel like it sort of in a way kind of weaves through the whole movie to kind of bring it all together. Like it feels like it's sort of wrapping around it, but it's never overwhelming. So you feel like it's almost part of the mood and less about like this big song, except for when he would sing, which was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Just,
there are two songs in the movie.
Two or three.
And I think they're both. The end credits, I think, have a song. If you want to count that one, I guess. But yeah, really, throughout the actual movie, there's two, I think, from memory. The thing about the songs in this movie, which I had, this was one criticism I had in his previous movie. The director's name, Rahul Sathasabin. Yeah, so his previous movie, Puttakalam, so fantastic movie. I absolutely love that movie. But the one issue I had about that movie was the songs kind of felt like they were forced. Like I didn't feel like they naturally fit in. Like they put in this love song in between a very tense scene after the scene with Shane Nigam's character and the mother. And it's just this a love song. And I was like, okay.
You can blame the music director and we know who that was.
Yeah.
The actor in the film. So he wanted to have his presence known. Yeah, remember he was.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that must. Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
It's all big music. Shane. Shane Nagata. Yeah, okay. Music director. It's like, okay.
Of course. That probably leads into why. Yeah. No, but this movie, so you can see, I can't blame the director then, Rahul Sathasabin, because the music in this movie was used perfectly. I think they really worked at the right time. They had two songs that come up, basically one at the start and one basically after the interval. And they both sort of give you a sort of sense of the tone of what's happening at that point of time.
Yes.
So really beautifully done, fantastic. But I mean, to get onto sort of this movie, look, there were a lot of talks about what this movie is about, the mystery. We ourselves were like, what is this movie about, man? Like we've seen the team, we've seen the trailer now.
We weren't that far off.
One thing that people kept saying, and I think every comment on what everyone kept saying on this movie was, this is a time loop movie.
We'll spoil that for you. It's not a time loop.
We'll spoil that for you.
It's not.
There's no time travel. They did a great job for, you know, keeping that intrigue going. Because, it was nothing to do with time loop. In fact, the game was actually, I wanted to look into what that game was. But it looks like it's an old traditional game that people used to play.
It was almost like a combination of chess and dice. Like it seemed like he would move the pieces and they'd roll the dice. And then, it was a weird one.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a pretty simplistic game. It didn't look like a very complicated game, to be completely honest. But that game is very integral to the movie. It's a game of life and death.
The game of fate, basically. The game mattered in this. Like you've got to play it right. Correct. And then even if you play it right, you're going to lose anyway. So don't even try.
Yeah. So the main thing behind this one is, so like the other thing that I had heard going around a lot, and I think this one was pretty accurate, and I think they did a good job of suppressing this as much as they could, I guess, because there was a lot of talk about this is a remake of Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, you know, and all that stuff. And they talked about that quite a bit. Now, this is not a remake of Dracula. This is not, Mamuchi's not playing the Count. He's not Count Dracula. He's not that, but he's not too far off.
Not far off. Definitely inspired. Because he's like, he's a rich person living in a mansion that has a beautiful portrait of himself. That's pretty much Dracula, except for the vampire.
Has Dracula?
There's no vampire. Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they even, honestly, when this movie started, I thought they were teasing vampire because they had the lady character.
Yes. She totally pulled a vampire move in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, she was, so she is called a Yakshi, which I looked into, which is kind of like a natural, like a female spirit. And they represent different things in Hinduism, Jainism, and Buddhism. So that was her basic role. So she's not human either. And neither is Mamuti. Mamuti is not a human.
I take her as she's Mamuti's honey trap. He sends her out there and she lures them in back to the house, sort of.
Yeah, I think that's probably true because the other point of this movie is a lot about fate.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about the fact that, you know, Arjun Ashokan's character did not choose to be here. Fate brought him here, essentially. Yeah. Thivan, the folk singer. So he was brought here and then that's sort of what this plays on. So I guess that's her role. It's not that integral to the movie, to be honest. It's there, but honestly, if they even took her out of the movie, it wouldn't even be
take
too much away from the movie.
Not at all.
To be honest.
This is between the three men. We have a power struggle between three people trapped in this house. And that is basically what it comes down to.
Exactly right. And the thing that I was a bit hesitant. I was a bit fearful about this movie and Mamuti's character because I've seen Mamuti play evil characters before. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just saw one recently in a movie called Vidheyan, which is one of... it's an amazing movie. And it's Mamuti's like probably most, I guess, sinister role, if you want to call it that. He's really evil in that movie. So playing evil characters is not new to him. We saw it in Rorschach recently.
He was so good in that. He was so good.
Yeah, he was so evil in that. And I'd seen him in another one called... Paleri Manikyam, which was again kind of similar, but with Heian and Paleri Manikyam were kind of similar. Right. He's like an evil landlord, essentially, and he has power over the people, which is very similar to this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, is he doing the same thing again here? Is he just going to be another evil guy with power and he's suppressing, you know, the people with like the lower caste and things like that? Turns out to be he kind of is, but he's so much more.
A lot more.
Because as I said,
he's like the ultimate of all those characters he played.
Correct.
Like he's like the pinnacle of the evil for him to play. You can't get much worse than that.
Because he has, I mean, like in those movies, he has power by like stature of who he is by blood. In this movie, he has supernatural power.
That's right.
So, you know, it's a level above. So he is something. That's why I say the Dracula like references are not too far off because Dracula was also not human. He could, you know, do crazy things. And also had there was this little reference in the between where they had like a bat fly out. And I was like, okay, is this just intentionally?
I think you're playing with this a little bit. Because we talked about how it felt like this is based on and inspired by classic Hollywood horror movies, as you know, like Dracula. And so whenever you see those old black and white horror movies, they have those like the kind of cheesy bats and they had like cobwebs and they have the great intro with the flickering, you know, firelight because there's no electricity. Yeah. And they had a lot of that, those affects. But I think they did it as sort of an affectionate sort of like texture versus actual story. But I think they were trying to show you like, we're making kind of a, almost a timeless, spaceless kind of universe where we're back in time and it's going to be old movie making. And it's going to have a glamour because it felt very glamorous. It felt very Hollywood glamour, but it had that cool edge to it. And it's like, it had a little modern edge, but it had that retro look. So I thought it was just genius that they did that.
Correct. So good. No, it worked really well. I mean, we went into the whole black and white stuff from Kathy's one. Check that one out. We raved about it. It worked really well. But yeah, you're right about the whole timeless thing was just, it's exactly true. And I guess it makes it feel like it's not contained to this space. Like it's not like this story doesn't have to be in Kerala. No. Like it doesn't have to be here. It could have been anywhere.
Anytime. Right.
Yeah. And speaking of time, so this is set in the 17th century. I guess so, you know, I don't know how much of a difference that makes, but it probably does make a difference in terms of like, I guess the production in terms of like where they are. The house had a lot of like temple-like, you know. You know, I guess statues and things like that. It was basically like a temple, it feels like.
it did. You know,
that he was living in. And the mansion itself is full of mazes, it's full of traps, it's full of all this intrigue, which I love about, again, the classical quality of of Gothic horror, like trapdoors and narrow hallways and you know, torch lights. Like this is all the typical stuff you see in this kind of movie. So, it's fantastic. And I guess the story itself, like if we're talking about sort of what they were trying to do with the story, I will say the first half I found was on the slower side of things, mm-hmm. because I did get to a point probably halfway to the first half where I was like, okay, what is this movie actually going to be about? Is it just going to be about Arjuna Shuriken escaping the house? Are we done? Is that really all the story is about? And so that's what the first half really sort of, I guess, teases you on. It's like Arjuna Shuriken is trapped here. His character's name, Thivan, is trapped here basically.
Yeah.
And how's he going to get out? But the second half takes us somewhere else.
Yes.
It takes us to the whole history of what this house is about, who Mamuti actually is, what is at stake even in some ways. So it does a fantastic job of that. So I just thought, like, while the first half was definitely a slower burn, I would say, it would set us up so well because you really get to feel like how much of a struggle it's going to be for Ivan to get out of here.
I actually liked when he it's sort of like he's come into this house where there's two people living and you can tell they've been living there a while and they kind of have their dynamic. I love the little hint of what was going on in this house when he comes in and then the cook, you know, he makes the dinner. Yeah. They're all sitting in the room together. And then, you know, Mamuti's character, you know, it's chewing tobacco or, you know, something similar to tobacco. And he asks the servant to bring him the you know, spittoon to spit into. Oh, and he spits at him instead. Bad. He just spits at him.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. And so you're basically, this is Arjun's clue. Like, I'm in this kind of weird abusive relationship right now. I don't know. All of a sudden he realizes that there's some nasty shit going on. I liked the subtlety of that. Like, and he didn't even really react when it happened. He was kind of like, okay, like a woman who's being beat by her husband almost. Like he just sort of collapsed a little internally. Yeah. It looked like, and I like that because you could see that's why he's not really fighting back. He knows that Mamuti has all the power. And I feel like when Arjun comes into the picture, all of a sudden the power balance is starting to get upset. And now they're trying to wonder, like, what's this guy? How is he going to affect my situation? Like, what's happening here? Is he going to be his new favorite? Am I going to be pushed out? Like, so I liked that it started with a very human interaction. And we knew that Mamuti was more than a human. Like, he was just more than that. But it still felt like something still really relatable. So I really liked that slow way in. And then it starts ramping it up. And you're like, oh, it's getting worse.
Oh yeah, no, they that's a great point. Yeah. They really played that game really well because, like, you get to know that. Okay, when you first see Mamuti, you're like, okay, fine, he's got some power here. But at that stage, it's just like status. Like, you know, I own this house. You're my cook. I'm going to spit at you. That's all it is. But then later on, as we sort of progresses, we get to see what his power actually is.
Yes.
You know, I think the first hint of that is basically, I think the dice was it. Like when he
able he kind of like, rolled over. The dice, but he lost the game. But he kind of tweeped the dice, so he won the game. And all of a sudden you could see Arjun's expression was like, he was all like, he had this hope, like, I won. And then Mamuti's character goes, boop. And then he kind of goes, all of a sudden he realized, I can't win. I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that he did the dice, did the supernatural tweak. You felt like he all of a sudden realized, I'm screwed. It was a really sad moment for him. I was like, oh my God.
I know, it was a terrible moment. Because I mean, that game they're playing, like, I mean, he basically forces him, even the way he gets him to play the game. Like, he tells him, I'm not playing. And then he drops the dice into his hand and he's like,
oh, I guess you're playing.
Game on.
You got to put those down. You played. It's like, oh my God.
It's game on now. So then from there on, because you're right. Then the dynamic, it's really interesting to see the exploration of, like, I guess Mamuti's character, Manakal, Kuruman Potti, like he seems to like adore Thivan to start with. Like, you know, he's that's like, true. Okay, cool, you know, sing for me, like, you're my guest, you've waited so long for really a guest to come.
You're really hungry.
Here's some food you're not going to eat. Like, you're not going to be hungry anymore.
Here's a comfortable bed to sleep in. You probably never slept in a bed in the past years. You've been in the slave. Yep. It's been terrible. I'll take care of you.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So he does all this. And then later on, you see how he sours on him very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, basically at the side, because there's one really, really impactful scene, which is another hint to who he actually is, because there's a whole scene where he's like, because Arjuna Shuriken's character is a Brahmin. He's a folk singer for an old palace, I think, like that, where he used to sing like religious songs and things like that. So I don't know if he's a Brahmin, but he used to work for a Brahmin house or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's connected to God and, like, I guess Hinduism in some way like that, I think. But he's singing this beautiful ballad, which is absolutely amazing.
Loved it.
But then essentially, you get to find out where he is in society. But then, it's very quick to see, like, Mamuti sours on him very quickly. And he's annoyed because he's saying that something like, thank God, I was brought here. And he's like, what do you mean, God?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm the one giving you the food. I'm giving you the shelter. You should be worshiping me. And that's because of Mamuchi's character, we find out, is not actually human.
He's not actually human.
A goblin.
And he's very upset about God. And also, I would have to say, like, God's not been treating him so nice anyway. So you shouldn't be thanking God for anything. He's pretty much forgotten about you. And I also love too, there's a little quick reveal as it's sort of early on where he goes into the back. I guess he goes out to look and he sees it looks like a bunch of graves. What? Like, yeah. And so when you see something like that, he has to wonder. But
yeah, and I mean, from like a directional point of view, again, just credit the director because like that what that does so well is, so he's the director and writer of this movie, so you know, credit on both sides. Yeah. But what that does is it really tells you how long this has been going on for. Like this
exactly.
is nothing new. Yeah, you're not the first guy.
And especially like who's going to be out here? It's in the middle of nowhere. Like there's still a lot of graves in that background. So somehow their fate is luring people to the mansion. So weird.
Yeah. Definitely. And the other thing was like, I guess the other thing was like, I guess I didn't really understand what Mamuchi's purpose was for doing all of this, I guess, until basically the second half when they really tell, you know, that he's, I guess they had the whole thing with the flame, you know, that was there.
Yeah.
That's what's sort of keeping him immortal, I think it was, or something like that. I have to sort of rewatch it to really understand what that whole concept was about. But that was very important to him to keep a light. And then there basically what happens is, Arjuna Shokin's character, Tivan, and the cook. They don't even give him a name, Siddharth. Part of them's at least on Wikipedia, they haven't given him a name. The cook, essentially. The folk singer and the cook.
I like the folk singer and the cook. It sounds like it's about to become a trial. A cook and a folk singer and a demon walk into a bar.
Pretty much, yeah. But honestly, they conspire to try and actually, you know, end.
We'll team Mamuchi. Up.
And it's, eventually, because I guess the cook is hesitant at the start. He doesn't want to do all of this because, I don't know, maybe because for him, his whole motivation is that, you know, they tell a whole little story about sort of his background and that he was part of the lineage of the family, which the goblin actually eliminated all of.
Yes.
So, you know, he is sort of there now.
That's right.
And it's his opportunity to kill, you know, Mamuchi once and for all. Like, that's the end of him.
Yeah. I mean, if he tries to take Mamuchi, what's going to happen to him? Like, in a way, he almost feels like, I don't know what to do here. Like he's kind of trapped in the, what should he can't do it alone. And now he's like, you know, he's been beaten down so much that to have that, even to get the courage to try and do anything to change the situation would be terrifying. Yeah.
Correct. I mean, they definitely do play on stuff like fate in this. So like, you know, it's like, cause I was wondering what is Arjuna, like why was Arjuna Shokin chosen to get to this specific place?
Yeah.
You know? But then that all just comes down to it, because that's what Mamuchi's whole thing talks about. Like his whole thing is like, you know, the reason you came here was because of fate. It's nothing else, and he's determined by that. Like you know, you came here because you were meant to. This is, you know, this is not an accident.
That's right. So what are you gonna do about it? It's like, it's gonna, lots of weird stuff's gonna happen when you try and do something about it. Lots of weird things.
Yeah.
Like one of the highlights is where both of them get kind of like basically sent into their own kind of form of puzzle, a weirdness where they can't escape the house. That scene was so well done where Arjun is trying to explore down a hallway. And he, as he's going around a corner, you know, he all of a sudden hears, and he looks back and he realizes the wall has closed behind him. So now he's in this hall. He doesn't know where he's going. And the hallways are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then they keeps closing in. So pretty soon he's trapped inside a little stone room. I almost lost my mind. And the fire started to go out. It was like,
Oh my god!
Freaking out. That was such a great scene. Oh my god!
So good. I mean, that's the thing. This he sort of showed elements of this in his previous movie. Did Rahul Sarathamn? He sort of showed us that elements. Like, he's very good at creating that atmospheric tension, and really getting you, you know, really keeping you in suspense and creating these really torturous scenes. Like in With the Column, we had the whole scene in the room, you know, where they're trapped in the dark and they suddenly see his, you know, the figure of the man. So he played on his strengths once again here, especially in that second half.
Yeah.
I would say he was able to do more, I feel like, in this movie, because they definitely added the supernatural element to it. And while the fight scenes and things were mostly grounded, they did have an element of Mamuchi's character is supernatural. Like he can jump, he can, you know, he has some superpowers. He definitely gets stabbed a few times. It takes a lot.
It takes a lot. There was that scene too where Mamuchi's sitting in the chair sleeping.
Yeah.
It's one of these scenes, like he's really good at making very creepy psychological creepiness where he goes to he's trying to find he's looking for the knife or something. He starts feeling the key. So he's trying to feel around while he's sleeping, like on his belly, like it's like someone going through your pockets while you're asleep. Basically, he was kind of doing that. And I'm like, are you insane? I mean, he's down there like feeling his belly and pushing. I'm like, and then sure enough, what happens? Next thing you see is like, he looks up and he's staring right at him. You're like, God, what in the hell? Yeah. That was another, I was just biting my nails. Like, it was just torture.
Yeah. If you're going to see this movie, you go into the horror movie. Like there's no two ways about it. Nope. Like this is like, you know, I think my meeting was, there was some kind of stuff they were talking in the press conference about how don't expect to see a typical horror movie. Don't expect, because my meeting always down, I feel like my meeting always downplays expectations in movies because he's like, you know, don't go in with this expectation, which I think is good because again, this is not a, like when people think of horror, I don't think that they think of gothic horror.
No, like it's not a very Saw. Specific.
It's not Saw, it's not a slasher. You know, it's not that kind of it's not that kind of horror. So maybe that's what he was trying to avoid people from sort of going into seeing. Like kinda, it's not gonna be a,
it kinda reminded me of Timbad. You remember Timbad?
Yeah, they also had the same kind of.
I loved that movie. That's like one of my favorite horror movies. It was a little like that because it felt kind of folk horror, but you didn't understand like what until the end really what the point of the folk horror part was. They had like demons and it was all like basically an overarching theme about greed, whereas this one's more about power and fate and like how like how power is also very corrupting and contagious. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that all our problems will be solved. We just get rid of Mahmoodi because he's the one ruling everything. And then, as we know, well, when you think Mahmoodi's out of the picture, all of a sudden there's another power struggle happening, isn't there? Like it never seems to end. It's the endless cycle of the power struggle. It's like,
oh my God. Yeah, and they even tease that earlier because there's another scene when it's good foreshadowing that to do because there's a little bit of tension between the cook and the folk singer. Essentially, these two characters, when I think they're down in the kitchen and at that time, you know, Arjuna Shuriken is still like, you know, we can't speak badly about our master. We can't talk about that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, he's treating us so nicely. He's letting us stay.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say that kind of stuff. And then he sort of, you know, stands up. He's like, don't forget, you know, I'm his guest. He considers me a guest and you're just a cook. Like, you know your place.
Yeah, he's
you
already know? Trying to pull a move, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that was not gracious that, but then, at all.
No, definitely not. But then, yeah, the whole power struggle continues because even after Mamuti's, you know, I guess, I don't want to say tragic end because he doesn't actually die.
We don't know what happens to him.
He definitely does not die.
Yeah, I like to where, and they make it very literal where there's like a ring that's very integral to who's holding the power, right? See, once you put the ring on, you've got some power. I love the scene where everything's going to be cleaned up. We got this ring laying there. I guess I'll put it on. It's like, no, don't put it on. No, I had this whole thing. Shit, he's putting the ring on. I'm like, no, because I was just like, oh my God. I was flipping out. Yeah. So I love that because you get to see the actual literal transfer of power and then the corrupting aspect of that, which was so good.
Correct.
So it was a very smart horror movie. I think that's another thing to kind of people like, they think horror has to be dumb and stupid and just teenagers being killed. But no, it can be smart. It can have other themes. And I love that it played with themes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, man in a way is almost powerless in his quest for power because it seems like he's being driven by things besides just humanity. You know, and this is like he's driven by demons or whatever that was, you know. Yep. So good.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. That's a great point because I think horror, even in general, like, I mean, you're the horror expert. So I'm going to definitely get your...
Oh, let me hear this. But
I've seen that there's been a bit of a transition between horror and not just becoming like, you know, dumb sort of just humanity fighting, you know, survival kind of horrors.
Yes.
Like they have, ever since, I think, I don't know if he was the first one to do this, but Jordan Peele kind of started to really push that kind of back, being like, we can actually have social context and actually themes behind our horror movies. They don't necessarily just have to be shock factor and scary. You know, and you know, I think Jordan Peele's movies go more on a societal factor. Like he's making commentary about society, but I think Rahul Sarathasarathan is sort of doing, and he's doing a fantastic job of it actually, is tying it very closely to what is really true in Malayalam cinema, in that it's down to the, you know, us as people and, you know, what kind of themes do we struggle with as people. And that's what Malayalam cinema has always sort of done throughout its time, from old movies to now. And so he's exploring that concept, you know, he did it in Bhutakalam with the father and mother relationship and how difficult that was to watch. And this one he's doing with the concept of power.
Yeah.
And how it corrupts and how you can get rid of it and how it never really ends, because that's sort of what we see.
Yeah.
Towards
it's
the end.
Endless so basically cycle.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, to sort of just talk about the climax scene and all that a little bit, like, I mean, how did you sort of think of sort of, I mean, even just from a cinematic point of view, the whole, you know, once they have that big battle scene inside the basement or wherever it was with the three of them going at Mammootty and the flames
that
like, burning him and his like, he's like death. Like, again, the production value of this movie is really good.
Really
like,
good.
Nothing looked cheap. Nothing cheap at all.
And this the rebirth crazy. And all that. I was like, what? Like,
what about insane. The other crazy horror scene with the mask?
Yes.
Like when he's dreaming and he's just like, he sees this character in his dream.
Yes,
and he's
like, that was great. Just, like the jittering thing with the big headdress. Oh, that was so creepy. Especially because they led into it so well because they keep sort of going back to this chain that's kind of rattling. This chain keeps rattling. You hear chains the whole time. Like, what is happening? And then you see the chain going through a door and it's moving up. What's behind the door? And when they finally show it to you, you're like, ah, that's so creepy. Like, you can't quite figure it out at first. It's like, ooh. And I love that they kind of played with, but they still kept it kind of grounded. It didn't, there was no CGI in this movie. It's like,
no,
it was, I would say 99% practical. There may have been something sweetening, but it looked like it was pure practical, which I love. Maybe a little bit with the rebirth kind of scene, but it was still very grounded. They did not overdo the CGI at all, if there is any, you know, so I really like that, but I thought that was great. And they have this big climax, they have this big thing happen, but then they kind of pile on a bunch of other little weird twists. Yep. So it just doesn't leave you alone. It keeps.
Yeah. But I guess towards the end, we just get, you know, we do get a little, I guess at the end, because I guess, you know, Mamichi's character, I guess his real character, the goblin that we saw emerge from his body, which was another just fantastic
very
scene.
Cool.
And I also enjoyed just watching him under the stairs, watching the horror.
Yeah, when he's like kind of peeing
in front of him.
I wonder who that actor was. I mean, that actor was great too. The very, very nimble and creepy.
The makeup and all the, you know, costume design. Very again, very, very good in this movie.
First class.
But yeah, exactly. When we saw that, like, you know, he essentially comes back and there's another sort of twist at the end. I guess there's a couple of twists because, we see that Arjun Hurkan emerges and the cook emerge and they're both out of the castle and Mammootty's no longer there because his body's gone.
That's right.
But then we essentially see, you know, we find out that the cook is no longer facing a singer anymore because the goblin has taken over the body by the hint of the earring being on the wrong ear.
Whoops! So, and he notices, which is funny. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I love that. It was great. And the reveal of the reflection. Oh, wait, that's a classic.
Yeah, the reveal of the reflection. Yeah, of him still living. And I think even as the cook sort of dies, so he dies from the Portuguese have come to Kerala. So I'm trying to find out what the time period for this movie was. I'm not sure if guys in the comments, if you guys know more about the history of this, because like I was trying to find out when exactly that sort of period was, because the movie says that it starts in the 17th century. So I was trying to see if, you know, it goes all the way up to when the Portuguese came, but I don't know when that was. Looking on, you know, Google, it's telling me
that would be kind of a funny reveal if it's true of like, you know, remember they kept saying like it's not been a week, it's been months. Would it be funny if he'd been there 100 years and he didn't know it? Like, would that be the reveal?
That's sort of what I'm trying to go at. I'm trying to see, like, basically, do we get an idea of how long they were actually
that's
there
for? That's
a
fun idea.
But I guess, you know, the whole thing is I guess time is just an illusion in this movie because nothing moves.
It's a time loop. You know, wait, no, it isn't.
Yeah, I guess that's a time loop then.
It's a time. And I like, too, how the soldiers were so jolting because we were so used to seeing this, like, the men with no shirts and it all just looked kind of timeless.
Yeah,
they weren't quite sure. And so they're out there and they're just wearing minimal clothing. There was no giveaway really to what's happening. And when he goes out, all of a sudden these guys show up. And you're like, what is this weird outfit? It's just so jolting. That was really funny.
Yeah, that's actually a good point because that just hit me. So when the cook's character dies at the end by being shot in the chest, I think though, because when he dies, he says lightning or something like that. And I don't know if that's something that was, I don't know if that was referenced earlier on that you will die to lightning or something like that. Or if you get out, you will be hit by lightning because of the rain. And because if he had been inside the castle for so long, he might not even have known what a gun was.
That's true. And it was like, he thought lightning. I got struck by something.
And so, you know, it's foretold. So,
you guys, so, history buffs, we need your help. What the hell are we talking about?
But that's fantastic. But again, just the whole, the Dracula references, like the whole thing with Dracula was that while, because like Dracula is a very big novel, and like, you know, the only the first part only is about the castle. After that, it moves on to you know the actual city and stuff like that. So really, this is really ties into that. But then Dracula's whole objective is to get out of Transylvania and to London.
Right.
So when we have this ending of the goblin outside of the castle, he's going to find his next place to go.
Where's he going to go?
It sort of continues.
He's going to be in New York. Kind of
New York
City is where he's. You know what this movie kind of reminded me of too? Did you ever see Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe?
No, but I want to see that one. But yeah, I'd heard
it this reminds had got a me lot of this too because it's black and white, gorgeous black and white, and it's these two men trapped, and you don't know what's real, what's not real, and there's this weird supernatural thing happening. So it was very similar, not as folk horror, but the same kind of psychological, you know, mind, you know, messing with your mind of like, where, what am I? Who do I trust? What's real? What's not real? Like, they had a lot of that weirdness in. So if you haven't seen The Lighthouse and you like this movie, check that out.
That's really cool. That's definitely, I've been meaning to watch that one. That's one that I have to watch now, especially after this one.
It's very unpleasant. Very unpleasant. You know, men in a lighthouse. It can't be good.
It looks like, looks like the director Rahul Sutherland is definitely, he's taken inspiration from a lot of different places, and I really appreciate that. This movie feels like homage.
Runs by this guy. Two great horror films. I cannot wait to see what he does next. I mean, to me, this is like, he's done two great calling cards. He should be shooting to the top of the A-list. Like, he's just he should be doing something.
Now he's going with...
I mean, they got Mahmoodi. I guess he is on the A-list right now. I don't know.
But expecting very, very high things from him because, he's definitely... You know, in industry that's got so much time and so much legacy to it, he's found a way to sort of create his own sort of legacy. He's already becoming like an auteur director to me, like someone that's doing something different and has a distinct style.
Fresh, modern, so good. And just so confident by bringing in this black and white. I mean, that's a bold move in your second film coming out with that because it can be repelling to people. So art house. But it's like he made an incredibly great, scary, deep kind of horror movie, and the black and white was a reason it was working really well, I think. So that's it.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, nothing but praise for this movie. Like, seriously,
I really have nothing bad to say about it. There's just nothing.
I have nothing bad to say about this movie. Honestly, this movie might go down as the best movie of the year for me.
Like, I would say it's definitely up there. And I thought maybe it's me because I love horror movies that maybe I've been rated too highly. So I'm good. It's good to hear that you also feel high, you know, good about it because I just thought this was stunning.
Oh no, I absolutely love it. I do have some apprehension, if I'm completely honest, about the stuff, because when I went to see this movie, I'll tell you guys, there were maybe, I don't know, 15 people in the cinema, and there were no families. It was just it was just basically a lot of men. it felt like a boys kind of movie, like a lot of boys and their friends went. There weren't too many couples and things like that. And it was really empty. So one thing I have a concern about is that I don't know how much money this movie's going to make in the cinema, to be honest, unfortunately, because it is that it already has that black and white feeling to it.
Yeah.
It's hard to convince, you know, somebody that watches, I don't know, your commercial mass movies to go see this art house movie, with sort of Mahmoodi and this sort of great storyline, because they'll definitely enjoy it, but it's hard to really pull people to be like, this is something different, come and watch it. So I do have some apprehensions about this making a lot of money, unfortunately, but that doesn't mean it's not going to go down as one of the best movies of the year. Like,
the quality is not necessarily box office, and sadly that's true in Hollywood too, because the big blockbusters are not usually the best movies made. But this was a great movie. I'm hoping that Mahmoodi will be a draw to bring people in, to get them to cross that barrier, you know, because it's like, it's not a gory horror movie. You don't have to worry about offending people too much, but it's disturbing. It's supposed to be, but in a really cool, thrilling way. Like I found it very, very invigorating because it was so artistic, and you just don't see that very often. So so far it's February, best film I've seen this year. For sure.
February's best movie I've seen so far, but it'll take a pretty good movie to knock this one off the top. I would think.
It's been really hard.
It's pretty good, guys. It's pretty good. I have nothing, honestly. Yep. Like you, I don't have any criticism of this movie. I can't criticize it. It's artistically beautiful.
Yep.
Its story is very engaging. It's written really well. So performances are out of this world. Yep. The graphics and the cinematography, everything they've done there is so good. It's genuinely scary at times.
Yep.
It pays homage to a lot of older sort of movies that have done it so well before, but adds its own twist and flair and keeps it culturally and you know, culturally rooted to what Malayalam cinema is about. So, yeah, I mean, I have nothing but praise about this movie. This is honestly just amazing, guys.
I know we're just gushing, but it's true, you guys.
Yeah,
we're telling you, please see this movie. Make this movie a hit, because we need more movies like this. This is why we're doing this, because I want more people to know about it.
Of course. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. Make sure
my pleasure.
Review on Kathy's channel, where we went more into the cinematography. We definitely talked more about the story in this one. But yeah, again, guys, like, thank you for listening. Thanks. Really appreciate it, and I'd love to know your thoughts about this movie. And how much did you love it? Like, if you have
if you have
criticisms, fine. Also, tell me. I want to hear you.
If you want to criticize this movie, just go away. That's what I say. Get out of here, you negatives. I don't want it. But yeah, I cannot imagine what anyone could criticize about this, except it's too slow, which is just not valid. Sorry, don't even go there. So
it's very good.
Yes,
it's
very good.
But
be patient.
Yes,
let it work its magic.
Definitely. No, let it work on you. It's definitely one. I can't wait for to watch it again, to be honest.
I know. I want to see it again. I have to drive all the way down there again. But I might.
Oh, my goodness.
I might do it.
Yeah.
I might do it. All right.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.